Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. We'll have the scriptures on the overhead projector, so if you didn't have your Bible, you can look up there, and I just ask that you please follow along. Amen. And the word of the Lord reads, "In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panel houses while the house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give your careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build a house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin. While each of you is busy with his own house, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord, their God, had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave his message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. I pray that you use me, Lord, that you put me to the side and you speak through me here this day. I pray that you remove all distractions, Lord, so that we can focus on your word and that we open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us here this day, Lord. Bless your word, and I pray that it just go forward with the boldness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So I'm going to give you a little bit of history of what was taking place. In 538 BC, King Cyrus of Persia, the conqueror of Babylon, issued a decree allowing the Jews to return back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Led by Zerubbabel, about 50,000 Jews journeyed home and began work on the temple. About 2 years later, they completed the foundation and greatly rejoiced. Their success arose the Samaritans and other neighbors who feared the political and religious implications of a rebuilt temple in a thriving Jewish state. They therefore opposed the project and managed to stop the work until Darius became king of Persia in 522 BC. Darius was interested in the religions of his empire, and Haggai and Zechariah began to preach in his second year. The Jews were more to blame for the inactivity than their opponents, and Haggai tried to arouse them from their lack of enthusiasm. When the governor of Transheferates and other officials tried to intervene with the rebuilding efforts, Darius fully supported the Jews. See, back then, the Jewish people got conquered by the Persians, and the Jewish people were called to come back and start building the kingdom of God. 2 years into building it, the foundation was laid and the people started rejoicing. They were glad, amen, because they were building the house of God. They were doing what they were told to do, amen. And I want to go back to verse 2. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not come for the Lord's house to be built. See, we need to be those that build the Lord's house, amen. The time is now. We don't have not that much longer, amen. There's people every day that we don't go out and build the kingdom of God, it's going to build the kingdom of the devil, amen, because people are out there killing themselves. People are out there dying. They're committing suicide. And every time somebody commits suicide, they go to hell, amen. But we need to be those that go out. Too many times we worry about how our house looks, and we are not worried about what the house of God looks like. You know, we're trying to focus too much on ourselves instead of going out and trying to help somebody save their lives. We're saved, amen? Yeah, we're going to go through trials. Yeah, we're going to go through tribulations, but we're saved ourselves. And we're busy too much trying to focus on our own lives instead of helping the hurting person that's sitting right beside you, the person that is lost that's not saved. You know, we need to be those that step out of our shell. We're going to be oppressed. You know, people are going to talk about us. But are we going to be focused on the oppression, or are we going to be focused on the opportunity that God has placed before us? You know, with oppression comes trials. Yes, it does. But through them trials, we still have the power of God, amen? We're still able to go reach those that are lost and bound. You know, through our storms, we still got the power of God within our lives. We just need to come to Him and seek Him with all our hearts and ask Him to get us through them situations. I know Pastor Charlie and Pastor Jamie say, you know, when you're going through a situation, you get blessed when you're able to pray for somebody else. Because when we were in California, we were driving and, you know, there's a lot of homeless people out there that feel like they have nothing to live for, that are living on the streets. They're just laid out on the concrete. We didn't go to Skid Row, but driving through the city of Los Angeles downtown, there were so many people that were just living under bridges. There were so many people just lost and hurt. They had nowhere to go. Well, they think they have nowhere to go. But how many know we got Victory Outreach all over the world, amen? They have a place they can go through, amen? Amen. And the book of Matthew 6:33, very familiar portion of Scripture, says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you. We need to seek God's kingdom, amen? And I like how it says it in the New Living Translation. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need, amen? He's going to give us what we need. We may not have what we want, but we sure will have what we need, amen? As long as we continue to have that relationship with God, that we continue to go forward in God, He's going to give us what we need, amen? It may not be what we want, but He's going to give us what we need to go and conquer the world for Him, amen? Let's give it up for God here this day, amen? Amen. As we go to verse 5, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvest little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes. How many of us feel at times, you know, we work and work, but at the end of the day, we have no money? Where do we put our money, amen? Are we trusting it in the hands of God? Are we trusting it in the hands of men, amen? See, God wants us to put our trust in Him. He only asks for 10%, amen? And we get to keep the 90, but He's going to multiply what we give Him, amen? Have you been giving careful thoughts to your ways, or are you just living life according to the world standards? You know, we go forward on a daily basis to work, and, you know, we have a routine, but are we sensitive to the Spirit of God? Are we led by the Spirit of God? Are we just in our comfort zone, just sitting back, praying for ourselves, not praying for our cities, not praying for our pastors that have labored to get us to this place, amen? We need to pray for our pastors and their wives. We need to pray for their families. And Pastor Sonny Jr., I believe, shared the last night, and he said, Pastor Sonny opened up, and he was talking about he was preaching one day, and he wasn't feeling it. And, you know, he saw Pastor Sonny Jr. in the back, and he was falling asleep on the pews. And he called them all up, and he said it was a Father's Day message. And, you know, he said, I can't preach this Father's Day message because I'm not walking it. Because he felt like he wasn't that father that he was supposed to be. His kids were in the back sleeping. They were addicted to drugs and partying. And he was the pastor. He was the founder of this ministry, of the best ministry that have, you know, went out and conquered what most churches won't go out and do, hit the inner cities and the worst parts of the world, amen? And as he was speaking, he said, you know, he just stopped, said, you know, we need prayer. He called up his family. He called up his wife and his children, and he said, we need prayer. And they just began to pray for him. And they pray for the family, and he just said, you know, that Sonny Jr. said, you know, a few weeks after that, he was saved. You know, there's power in prayer, amen? See, I believe if the church did what they were supposed to do, Pastor Sonny Jr. would have been saved a long time before that. He wouldn't have to go through the struggles that he went through. But I believe there was some people that weren't praying with all their hearts. You know, Pastor Charlie, how many know we got a great pastor? Amen. He's one of those that go and help out when he should be just hanging back and, you know, just letting the church do their thing. Amen. See, when we don't give our 10%, that hurts the church. It makes our pastor have to go out there and labor, though he should be staying back and spending time with God to continue to refresh us on a daily basis. Amen. So we need to be those that don't go by the standards of the world. We need to be those that are going by the Spirit of God, that are being led by the Spirit of God. Too many of us want to just come to the altars like it's a regular day and not give our all to God. We don't want to lift our hands in worship. We don't want to clap our hands in praise. But we need to just step out by faith. We need to believe that God is with us and that he's going to get us through our trials. Amen. See, what are you doing that may hinder your spiritual life? There may be something taking place within our lives that is allowing the kingdom of God to not grow. See, I'm preaching today, and the message to my word is building the kingdom of God. What are you doing that may or may not be growing the kingdom of God? Are you going out there and witnessing to the hurt, or are you just walking past them? Are you being sensitive to the Spirit of God? Are you being led by the Spirit, or are you being led by this world? See, God has called us to be led by His Spirit. You know, God gave us His Son, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. See, the Spirit of God dwells within our lives. Are we going into our lives and receiving what's already there? Or do we forget that we have the Spirit of God within our lives? Amen? The Spirit of God is within us. I was the last day, Friday, after service, you know, it was the last day, and me and my wife and sister Patty, we went to go out to get something to eat, and we went to Panda Express, and it was on a little street, so I ended up passing it up, and I circled around, and then I passed it up again because it was so little. So then the third, when I passed it up, I just turned into a McDonald's to go around, and there was one of the UTC guys. He was witnessing to a guy. He was all beat up. He was bleeding. He was all bruised. And I said, you know what? I'm going to park, and I'm going to go back my brother up because we need to be in unity. We need to be, you know, together in a team. That's what the conference was all about. We need to be, you know, in a team going forward. We can't do it by ourselves, so we need a team effort to go forward and to reach those that are lost. So I go over there, and he's witnessing to him, and he's pouring his heart into this man. And, you know, he led him to God. He prayed for him, and, you know, he said the sinner's prayer. And he was one of the UTC alumni, and he graduated. And he went into his pocket, and he was like, look, I'm going to step out by faith. This is the last $6 I have. And he was in McDonald's parking lot, so I know he was going to go eat. And he said, this is the last $6 I have. I don't know what you're going to do with it. He was like, by faith, I want you to go eat, because it looks like, you know, he's just been sitting there. You know, he got beat up and stuff. And it touched me, because UTC people, they don't have a lot of money when they come out. You know, they have to pay to go into the UTC. And this youth member gave his last $6 to someone he didn't know, that he didn't know what was going to happen with that money. But by faith, he stepped out and said, you know what? I'm blessing you because the Lord has blessed me, amen. And that really touched me, and it stirred something up within me, because I know I had like 13, 14 bucks in my pocket in cash. And I was like, if this guy, you know, if, you know, the Spirit put it within me to give him the last money that I had in cash in my pocket, and when I gave it to him, he looked like he was being broken, because I believe the Spirit of God was manifesting within, you know, that little bit of time that we were together, because I didn't know him. I mean, I seen him before, but I really didn't know the guy. And he looked at me and said, man, thank you. And I said, you know what? This is proof that God provides, that he's going to increase what you sow. You know, he's going to bless what you sow. Amen. You reap what you sow. And this guy, he blessed a man that he didn't have to. You know, he don't know if he was going to go get drugs with it, but he believed in God, and he wanted to feed his brother. He led him to the Lord, and, you know, that man is going to remember from that day forward that some guy cared for him, that he prayed for him. He told him he loved him, and, you know, he stepped out in faith. How many of us are willing to step out in faith today? Amen? Let's step out in faith and go and reach those that are lost, that feel like they have no hope, that feel like they're defeated. Because today we have the victory, church. Amen? I said today we have the victory, church. See, when we walked into the doors, when we walked in, I walked in almost 4 years ago, and I was defeated. But I didn't come for change. I came because I was grateful the Lord let my brother live, because he was in a real serious car accident where he got ejected on the freeway at 55 miles an hour in the middle of a rolling truck. And it was at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so it was rush hour. And when I left work, I said, man, God, you know, I was crying. And I said, God, if you get him out of this safely, you know, I'll go to church. I'll try it out. And God heard my prayers, even though I didn't have a real relationship with him. Even though at times I didn't believe in him, God said, you know what? He got my brother out the hospital that night. He had a bunch of tickets because I believe he was on pills. And, you know, he didn't have a license. His truck wasn't registered. But how many of us know the blessing of him being able to walk out there on his own, you know, encouraged me. You know, it got me to church. See, God's going to use stuff, the foolish things of the world, to get our attention. God used my brother almost dying in a car accident, but he turned that around, and my brother walked out the hospital that night with just bumps and bruises and scrapes everywhere, amen? And so I gave it a chance, and I came to church, and I remember Sister Patty singing at the altar, and I was just there broken, and I gave my life to God, and I've never been the same since, you know. Ever since then, though at times I didn't feel it, I had the victory. Though times you may not feel you have the victory, you have the victory, amen? See, God gave us the victory within our walk. We may go through times where we feel like we don't have the victory, but how many of us know we have the victory every day as long as we walk with Christ? Amen. Let's give it up for God here this day. Amen. Amen. As I go to verse 8, it says, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build a house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. See, I believe that the mountain for us are the streets. And the timber for us are the people. See, God wants us to go to the mountains, to the streets, to go and get the timber to build his house. We need to go out there and get the people and build his house, amen? Because if we don't go out there and bring the people in, who are? There's churches out there that have 1,000 people congregations, but how many of them are really going out to try to do the will of God and reaching those that are lost and bound? Amen. We got a certain anointing upon our ministry. Amen. I said we got a certain anointing on our ministry to go out and reach those that are lost and bound. See, we are called by name. You know, God chose us as a people that been there, done that. A lot of us have a background that God is going to use to touch those that are lost and bound. You know, there's a lot of people here today that have been in different kinds of walks. You know, there's a lot of drug addicts. There's gang members here. There's prostitutes that have been here. There's been thieves. There's been, you know, all kinds of walks. And I believe if you walk in this church and you can't find a walk that you are walking, amen, you need to become a part of this church, because there's going to be somebody out there that you need to witness to, amen. There's going to be somebody out there that's hurt that needs to hear your testimony. There's a bunch of Davids out there. There's a bunch of Albertos and Leslies and Janessas out there, amen, that need to hear what God has placed within our lives, amen. Amen. See, God will honor this when we go out and reach those that are lost and bound. Those are his children. Those are his sons and daughters. You know, we weren't created to be stuck in the world. We were created in God's image and likeness, amen. We were created with the Spirit of God within us. But what this world has to offer, a lot of people would rather serve the world than serve God. A lot of people see flashy cars and they want that. And like Brother Chava said, the money is the root of all evil. It's not bad to have money. But what you put before God is bad. And a lot of people are putting money, they're putting their jobs, they're putting their finances before they put God. And that's when it becomes a sin, amen. See, it's not bad to be rich. There's a lot of rich people that are serving Christ, amen. And they're not in sin for that. But if they start putting their money before God, then there's a problem, amen. Especially if they've been touched by the Spirit of God, then there's a problem, amen. So as we go to verse 9, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin. While each of you is busy with his own home, therefore, because you, the heavens have been withdrawn their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on man and cattle, on the labor of your hands. There needs to be a stirring within our spirit, because God's promise is that he is with us, amen. See, God promised to be with us, amen. And too many of us forget about that. When we don't build the house of God, God will not build onto our house. When we're focused too much on our house, God's not going to be focused on our house. He's going to be focused on his house. He's going to get those that want to build his house, amen. So too many, he will make sure the harvest will withdraw. What we expected, we will not get. See, too many of us expect to get the blessings of God, but yet we don't want to bless those that are of God. We want to receive what God has for us, but yet we don't want to give God what belongs to him. Too many of us are being stingy with what we have. We're not going forward. We're not helping build in this kingdom. Too many of us are too busy building our houses, going to work, and just trying to make ends meet on their own ability. See, God hasn't called us to live on our own ability. He's called us to depend on him and him alone. Amen? See, God hasn't called us to do it by ourselves. That's why he is with us. Amen? He's with us so we can depend on him. He's with us so we can rely on him. He's with us because he knows we can't do it on our own. Amen? His word says, apart from him, we can do nothing. And I know here today that, you know, before I came to Christ, I was nothing. I was just another guy on the street, another statistic that was either going to be locked up, was either going to be overdosed on pills, or was going to be dead because of what I was doing. Because the life I was living, the path that I was on, was leading me to destruction because I didn't have Christ in my life. Though I had people praying for me, I didn't want to seek him myself. See, we need to seek him for ourselves. There's too many of us relying on Pastor Charlie's prayers, on Sister Marlene's prayers, you know. But we need to seek God for ourselves. We need to get a hold of God ourselves. We need a piece of God for ourselves, amen. We need to make our home, our altars, to just lay out and be in the presence of God as long as he called us to be, not just for 5 or 10 minutes, or you're looking at your clocks all the time to see, oh, well, I can only pray for this long and I'm going to go home. Because I know how it is, you know, there's some times where I feel the same way. But see, how many of us know that, you know, we plan to pray for 30 minutes or something, God can change our life in that next minute, amen. We're withholding what God has for our plan, has the plan for our life, because we want to go out and work and make money. See, God wants us to be led by His Spirit. He don't want us to be led by our own abilities, amen. As we go to verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord's people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. See, we need to rejoice when we serve God. The foundation has been put down by our pastors, by our founders. The foundation has been laid down for us. See, this church is our foundation. This is a launching pad for men and women to get sent out in teams. That was the theme, teams. See, there's going to be not just one person being sent out, or not just a pastor and his wife. No, there's going to be a team that's going to be sent out to be more effective for the ministry, amen? To go out and win more souls, amen? So there needs to be a stirring within our spirit, because God promised to be with us, amen? God is with us, amen? Too many times we forget that the Lord is with us, and spiritually we begin to die. Tell your neighbor, you're not dead. You're alive in Christ, amen? We're here to serve God. We're here as a witness to what God has done within our lives. We're here as a people that were once dead, but now we're alive. At one time we were lost, but now we're found, amen? We were blind and we couldn't see what the enemy was doing with our life. But see, God opened our eyes to see the destruction that He had before us, amen? God opened our eyes when we didn't even know Him, amen? See, God is, I remember one of the pastors were talking about Saul, the Christian killer, you know, and he was talking about one of the stories in the Bible where Saul went into one of the cities and he had, you know, made everybody scatter. But what he didn't realize is that when he made the people scatter, the people that scattered were going out and preaching the word of God. So the word of God was being preached all over. And the Lord used him that day, even though he was killing Christians, and he didn't even know it. But how many of us know God turns people around? Amen. God turns people around, amen. See, he was a Christian killer, but yet God turned him around, and he was able to serve God with all his heart through his trials, through his tribulations, being in prison. He was still preaching the word of God. Though he was being beaten, he still preached the word of God. How many of us are getting beat down at times? Amen? I've been beaten down, but guess what? I stand here firm in what God has for me, because I know God has a plan for my life. And I know there's a lot of you out there that's been beaten down, and I'm here to encourage you, to tell you that, like my wife said, that if you're in a fight and you don't get hit, then you're not really fighting. Amen? See, here in Victory Outreach, we're ready to fight. We put the gloves on and we're ready to go toe-to-toe with the devil, amen? Are you ready to fight? Amen? Because I'm here to back up my pastors. I'm here to be an armor bearer to my pastor. Whatever he needs, I have his back. And I was talking to one of the brothers of Victory Outreach, and he was asking me, you know, I'm being groomed for leadership. What do you think I should do? And I'm like, back your pastor up. He was like, because I want, what you got. He was like, you know, you have a wife, you have kids, you're serving the Lord, you know, you're being used in a church. And I said, you know how I got there? By saying yes. By being obedient to our pastors. Because our pastor is being obedient to God. And, you know, he has a deep relationship with God. And, you know, God's not going to set us up for failure. So when God speaks to our pastor moves on it. And so he was saying, you know, I don't feel like, you know, I don't want to be a snitch in the church. And I'm like, you're not being a snitch, you're being a brother. You know, you're seeing those that are doing wrong, and you're telling them, you're correcting them, to help them grow. If you don't tell them what they're doing wrong, then how are they going to grow? They're going to stay in the same place. They're not going to continue to go forward. They're not going to receive the correction, the rebuke at times that they need to receive. Amen. So they started building the church. And as we go to the book of Ezra, chapter 6, verse 15 through 18. And the word reads, "The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 male lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And they installed the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their groups for the service of God at Jerusalem, according to what is written in the book of Moses." It took the Jewish people 22 years from beginning to the end to build the temple. Amen. I believe because of their lack of obedience to God, it took them longer to receive the blessings of God. See, if they were just going forward and just continue to build, I believe that church would have been built a lot faster, amen. See, people just, they withdraw when opposition takes place. But with opposition comes opportunity. Same thing in today's churches. We want to receive the blessings of God, but yet we don't want to be obedient to his commands. But at the end of the day, tell your neighbor, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, if it's God's will, it'll be done. Amen? See, we're Victory Outreach. Tell your neighbor, we're Victory Outreach. If it's your first time, just know that, you know, we have over 600 churches in over 30 different countries. And that doesn't just happen by just sitting back and withdrawing when it's time to build, amen? See, there was people that went before us and continued to build. They continued to put their hands to the plow in building the kingdom of God. See, we are in a ministry that is obedient to the building of God's temple and answering the call. A lot of people say they are willing to answer the call, but how many people have answered the call? See, God placed a promise on many people's lives, but how many people are really answering the call of God? Amen. Are you willing to answer the call? In answering the call, we will need to pay a price to build onto the kingdom of God. Are you willing to pay a price to build his kingdom? Are you willing? Amen. See, God needs a willing people. He don't want people that are going to murmur and complain as they're building. A lot of people say that they are willing to pay the price, but yet there are some people that don't even tithe correctly. How are you going to give 10% of your life, of your earnings, if you can't even... How are you going to, you know, lay your life down, give 100% of your life, if you can't even give the 10% of your tithes that belongs to the Lord already? That's his tithes. You know, God don't need your money. God made the heavens and the earth. He don't need your money. But what he does need is a willing person that's going to believe and trust in God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. See, someone paid the price for us to be here today. Pastor Sonny, Sister Julie, they paid the ultimate price. You know, they started this ministry in 1967. Over 47 years of paying the price for us to be here. Though they don't even know us, because of them, we stand here today, amen? I'm pretty sure when they built the ministry, they never thought it was going to come to where it is now. I mean, you know, they were promised to get the treasures out of darkness. And how many of us are treasures out of darkness here today? Amen. See, a lot of people weren't going to go out and look for us. We were going to be stuck in the streets if it weren't for Victory Outreach. Amen. Someone paid the price for us to be here today. Now it's our time to pay the price for those that are coming behind us. Because in order to build the kingdom of God, we are going to need men of God, women of God, and youth of God that are willing to surrender their lives and answer the call. A lot of people think that you need to be qualified to answer the call. And Pastor Al Valdez said it best, and you know, it really stuck to me. He said, God doesn't pick the qualified, he qualifies the call. See, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. Amen. He's going to meet us where we're at, but he's going to expect us to grow in him. See, God isn't going to call those that have it all together. He ain't going to call those that have it all together. Why? Because they're not going to depend on him. They got it all together. Why are they going to need to depend on him? They got the finances. They feel like they don't have to turn to God. See, us here, we have to turn to God. Because if we don't turn to God, we're going to end up back on the streets where we came from. Flat on our face. With no family, with no purpose, with no direction. But here today, I'm here to tell you that we have a purpose. That we have a direction. That each and every one of us have a purpose in this church. But are you going to answer the call? We need to stand up and answer the call of God. Amen. See, a couple months back, Pastor Charlie, he told me, you know, he wanted some shifts to take place within the church. And he asked if I would run the youth ministry. And he called me in the morning before I even woke up. So I was still in the flesh. And he was like, you know, I need you to, you know, take over the youth ministry. I don't know what your work hours are, you know. And I told him, you know, it's Friday nights. I work Friday nights. I was trying to make up excuses. Well, you know, my kids, and, you know, I ain't going to be able to go to every service because of my kids. And, you know, any excuse that I could come up with, I try to make. And he said, you know what? Just pray on it. Pray on it. Talk to your wife. Get back to me. Let me know what you can do. So I woke up and got ready, and I began to pray. And right away, the Lord said, answer the call. If you want to become what I have called you to become, this is one step that you need to take in answering the call of God. See, God gave me a vision of me going and taking my own city. But if I can't run a youth ministry, how am I going to run a church? Amen? You know, I've done ushering, and I've done children's ministry a little bit. And, you know, God wanted me to take over the youth ministry to take me to the next level and to help those that are in the youth ministry get taken to the next level as well. Amen? See, God is going to grow us even though we don't know what's taking place. We may not understand what's taking place, but just know that if God is in it, then all things are made possible. As long as we're led by the Spirit of God, all things are made possible. Amen? God uses the underqualified people because we depend on him. He knows that in our weakness, he is made strong. How many of us were weak before we came to God? I was a weak person. I was vulnerable. I was, you know, led by the streets, and that's all I knew. You know, my father wasn't there for our whole life, you know, but I thank God for that because that's my testimony. You know, I can reach those that their father wasn't there their whole life, amen? You know, and I believe in Chicago where my dad's at now, I believe, you know, there's people that are praying for him, and I believe that, you know, God is going to remove what needs to be removed in his life so he can serve him with all his heart, amen? I'm believing in that. Do you believe in a miracle? Amen? See, Pastor Sonny Jr. was talking about, I believe it was either one of the pastors or one of the brothers, he was in a wheelchair, and he saw him down the hallway, and he stopped and talked to him, and he was like, you know, I need prayer, and, you know, Pastor Sonny Jr. was like, I really want to pray for you. He was like, I want to pray that, you know, by tomorrow night's service, that you'll be standing at the altar and you'll be, you know, clapping and that you'll be jumping for joy. And he said that he got a text Friday, the next night service, and he said, you know, that individual was at the altar and he was there worshiping God without his wheelchair. He was there standing. So how many of you guys are believing in a miracle? Amen. We could be believing in a miracle for our family members. I'm still believing in a miracle for my brother. Amen. You know, he was supposed to get a kidney donated to him by his sister-in-law, and some stuff came up. You know, she was borderline diabetic, so they stopped it. They said that they couldn't do it. But how many know God got a better plan? Amen? See, his wife went and got tested for her kidney, and she was the same blood type. She was a match. And the devil was still trying to step in, and she had to have surgery to remove cysts that were inside of her. But now, you know, God is still on the move. And I believe, you know, it's through our prayers. Amen. Pastor Charlie knows my brother, and I believe he's praying for him with all his heart, believing by faith that one day that his life will be transformed and he won't have to go to dialysis every other day, you know, because it's taking a toll on him. He's 27 years old now, and I believe he's had it for like 10 years. And, you know, he's been up and down, and, you know, because of the pills, he got real big. And then he ended up losing all the water weight, and he's got stretch marks, and he's kind of, you know, depressed at times. But see, God is with us, amen. When we feel depressed, that's when we need to come to God more. And I'm believing that, you know, my brother's going to get saved. You know, he gave his life to the Lord, but really get saved where he's radically transformed. That he gives up all the addiction, that he goes forward and wants to preach the gospel himself. Amen. I'm believing in that. What are you believing in? Amen. It was in those times that we were weak that God's name got glorified. See, it's not when we're strong and we're serving the Lord with all our heart when God's name get glorified. It's when we're broken, when we feel like, you know, our walk has stopped. God is on the move at all times. I said God's on the move at all times. He never stops. Even though we feel at times he stopped in our life and that he's not with us, but his word says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we know that, you know, he's with us at all times. And even though we feel that we plateaued at times and we're just at the same level, God is still raising us up. God is still moving within our lives. Amen. Too many times we feel like the call within our lives has taken too long to come to pass. But what are you doing that God is not allowing you to grow? Amen. God will not set us up for failure. So what are you really ready for? So are you really ready for what God has for you? Amen. See, God isn't going to put something before us that we're not going to be able to conquer. He's not going to give us trials that are going to make us fail at life. You know, yeah, he'll put stuff before us that's going to bend us, but it won't break us. You know, we need to come to God believing that, you know, that all things are made possible through him, amen? And that, you know, he's just going to continue to grow us, but what are we doing that's hindering from God putting something before us that's going to make us fail? See, there's maybe stuff taking place within our lives that we're doing ourselves that God's saying, you know what, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. See, because if I send you out there now, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. And we might lose you. See, but God isn't that type of God. Amen? God isn't that type of God. He's our Father. He loves us. You know, when we go forward in him, he's going to continue to go forward in us. But if we try to stop the walk of God, he's going to stop and let you do what you got to do to say, hey, you're not doing what I have called you to do. He's going to let you do what you have to do so you can come back to him and be like, Dad, I was wrong. I was wrong. I shouldn't have stopped serving you. I shouldn't have hindered my walk with you. See, we need to serve God and just continue to go forward and not look back at our past, amen? See, because today is a new day, and tomorrow was yesterday, amen? What we did in the past stays in the past. We look back as our testimony, but we need to look forward at our future in God, amen? God can use anybody and anything. Are you ready and willing to be used as the worship team makes their way? See, at World Conference, God was, he was on the move. He was really speaking, and, you know, we have a bunch of pastors that have laid down their lives and that have gone through trials and they have felt like giving up, and they were transparent about it. They said, you know, they would call Pastor Sonny and be like, you know, I want to give up. But Pastor Sonny always gave an encouraging word to continue to go forward, amen? Because Pastor Sonny, he's been there. He's done that. He hasn't been a pastor that just sat back and watch other people do the work. No, he's there. He's in Africa. He's in Mexico. He's in them foreign countries where other pastors won't go. That's why we're one of the biggest recovery ministries in the world, because we got pastors that are willing to pick up their cross every day to serve God. Amen. I thank God for our pastors. I thank God for our founders and our elders, those that went before us to see us where we're at today, even though they didn't know who we are. See, they stood there by faith. They stood in the gap by faith, knowing that there was a hurting people out there that needed more of God. Amen. As we all